Thank you, ladies. All right, we'll take your Bibles out this morning. Open to Psalm 23. We've been preaching through this tremendous and wonderful psalm, one of the most noted, favored portions of Scripture. The title of the message today is At the Lord's Table, Seated at the Lord's Table. Psalm 23. We'll begin in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the precious portion of Scripture that we have read today that brings the great comfort to our hearts as we have come to trust in Thee. Father, we pray today that You might meet with us by the presence and power of the Spirit of God. Lord, I do plead now that, God, You might sanctify these few moments together. God, I pray that You drive out influences of wickedness and the evil spirit that would work to hinder. And I pray for great liberty in the house of God for us to hear and receive the precious truth that You'd have, Lord, to be preached today. And Lord, I do plead for that person that's nearest hell and does not know it. And yet, Father, Lord, I pray it be the day of salvation. I pray for those, Lord, who, Father, recognize their great need today and come by faith to call upon Thee that they might be filled and be strengthened today. I pray for those who have great need and yet not aware of it. And that, God, that they might, Father, come, Lord, face to face with their weakness and infirmity and inabilities. And, Lord, to look by faith unto Jesus. Help us now, Father, meet these needs. We do pray. Lord, glorify Yourself. We'll give You praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 23:5, at the Lord's tables. We mentioned in our study the true comfort and consolation of Psalm 23 is found in that personal pronoun that goes with the great truth, the Lord is the shepherd, but He is my shepherd. We know that it's faith that unlocks the doors to grace. We know that faith is that which pleases the Lord. For through that faith we have a union with God where He takes things that are His and gives them to us. And we sing of that amazing grace. And as we follow the shepherd, listen, we rejoice that even in this pathway of life, even in the land of the curse, we are blessed because of the shepherd that leads and guides our life. If you notice in the context here, we have in verse number 5, the table being set in the presence of the enemy. What a great contrast here, not only in our emotions, but by sight, as we see here the picture that the enemy was present, and yet he noted there directly in front of him was the table of God's great provision for him. A feasting of the Lord. Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians, that we are to enjoy these wonderful things of God's feast who has provided for us. Now note something about this text of Scripture. The peace and tranquility is not because He doesn't have an enemy. The peace and tranquility is not because He has ignored the enemy. The peace and tranquility he experienced is only found in the presence of the shepherd in all that he provides for us. That's very important for you and I to know the blessed truth of this scripture and how we might also experience the peace and rest that only God can bring us. There are three foundations I want to give you in this text that will help us here. Number one is the perception of personal weakness. The perception of personal weakness. That's so important. As you and I look here, we find that the psalmist has cried out unto the Lord to be his shepherd. That is, he has considered himself, as we've already preached, as a sheep needing the watch care, direction, leadership, provision that the shepherd can bring. And he is aware of the presence of his enemies. He's aware of that. He's aware of his weakness, his inability in order to defeat all that is against him and contrary to life and contrary to victory. And so we're reminded here of David when David was hunted by King Saul. And you remember he spent much time in the wilderness running from Saul and his mighty army in pursuit of him. And we have seen several occasions where God revealed that he was with David, yet David had grown to a place where he had become so weary and so tired that he did not see a way out. And he even made a statement, which I'm sure he regretted. He said, "One day I'll die at the hand of Saul." He had reached a low point, and he had come to a place in a cave. And the Bible said in Psalm 142:1, a prayer when he was in the cave, "I cried unto the Lord my voice, with my voice of the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." David had hit a point and place in his life where he looked and found no one he could see that would be a refuge for him. You understand that David, now a wanted man, David a criminal in the sight of King Saul, that David had put out certainly a warrant upon his head. And we know that as he went forth the army, David had reached that low point. Listen, where he's in the cave and there was no one, nowhere to turn. He'd reached an end to himself. But you know what the Bible said a little bit later? David encouraged himself in the Lord. David understood something. He got to the place where he realized that his only true refuge was in God himself. After he realized that, you know what God did? God sent him a bunch of people to stand with him while he's in that cave. And listen, David had reached that place. And you know what? It's a place that every man must reach. Listen, it is a truth, though oftentimes rejected by men, denied by men, but we have to come to that place where we realize every man needs a refuge. I don't care who he is. I don't care of his wealth. I don't care of his individual strength or power, of all his resources. Every man needs a refuge. And it is a blessed day when a man comes to that reality and is willing to admit it, that I need a refuge. I need a place to hide. I need a place I can go. Because not only do we face the curse of life and all that it brings, but we have enemies that are also unseen and revealed to us in the Bible. We have a destructive nature, the old flesh within us, in our struggle and battle with sin and rebellion and disobedience from that which is right and that which is true. We also face a world around us, and we face a devil, and we face the enemy of death and corruption. And so every man needs a refuge. And there are many a person who's looked around like David, did not have a foundation of truth, and many of them have looked for a refuge and found none. But I'm glad today that God will be our refuge. That God will be our strong tower. That God will be our hiding place. That God will be our heavenly Father. Now listen, that we can run to Him. And so we understand why the Bible speaks so strongly about the matter of the pride of life. The pride of life is the great enemy of salvation. The pride of life gives man a false security. A false security. There have been many a person who thought that what they rested in or trusted in or depended on would surely be there and will avail them in time of difficulty and problem. But listen, they found that it was insecure and that it would not sustain them. Listen, it gives a false security. The Bible said in Obadiah 1:3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Listen, every man is going to be brought low by the power of God. Every man, listen, will be brought to his knees. For the Bible said, when presented before Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. And so every man will be brought low. Every man will be brought to his knees. Thank God, listen, by the Holy Spirit and by the tender wooing of the promise of God's love and God's grace, you and I have already come and bowed before Him and bow our knee to Him and have sought Him as our strength, as our helper and our Savior and our refuge. Thank God we have found in Him our strength and our security. Pride, pride in the Bible, listen, is despised. It is rejected. Pride not only gives a false security, but pride will not seek God. The Bible says it in Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. What a tragic thing. That, listen, that pride robs a man of his sanity. For he has thought himself not needing God, nor would he entertain any thoughts of God in his life. Oh, listen, what a pathway of a fool. What a foundation, what a philosophy of a foolish man who thinks that he can face life, face death, and face eternity without God. Pride also brings shame. The Bible said, Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Pride also ends in destruction. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. No wonder God hates the sin of pride, because it robs people of God and His provision. God is a refuge for us, and God has provided for us. We can run to God as a vile offending sinner and found out that God's table has made provision for us, that we can be saved, that we can be forgiven, that our sins can be washed away and be no more. God's made provision for sinners to come sit at the table. And listen, He'll fill you with the goodness of His mercy and grace and restore you and bring you into fellowship. God, listen, can take the weak and feeble. Listen, there's a seat for you at the table. Listen, those who have failed and those who have, not done as they should, those who are gripped by fear, those, listen, are gripped by sorrow, there's a seat at the table that God's prepared for you. And listen, the resources are there for you and I, regardless of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our transgressions, our sorrows, our burdens, our anger. Listen, God has set something at the table so that all of us can be filled with His goodness and can be restored to that place of fellowship. For He is always at the table with us when we feast with Him. And listen, what great joy and peace there is seated at the table with the Lord and all He's provided. Pride, listen, all men are lost without God. God alone is sustainer and savior of life. It is faith in Christ that saves. It is faith in self that destroys. And so, listen, the first foundation I see here in this text is the perception of personal weakness. He ran looking for refuge in God. He took Jesus Christ as his shepherd, and there he found at the table all that was provided for him. And so, as you and I consider that, let me give you the second one. The second principle of well-being here in this psalm, in this scripture, is the perception of a powerful enemy. You'd think that might be counterproductive, but no, it was necessary. You and I cannot know the true peace that the shepherd brings until we face the reality that we do have enemies. We can't hide from them. We can't ignore them. We have to confront them. We do have an enemy. You know what? It's better if you have an enemy to know who and where and what they are. As I often mention, there are many poisonous snakes. The rattlesnake's my favorite, if you can have a favorite. You know why? Because he lets me know he's there. Okay? I want all warning. I will yield right of way to him. Okay? Unless for some reason, I happen to have a whole shotgun ready. But anyway, if I don't, I will simply yield the way. I like to know the enemy. And I like to know what their tactics are. The Apostle Paul counseled the believers, said that we know exactly what he does. We know who he is. We know his tactics. We know his weapons. And that's important. Our text acknowledges the enemy's presence. But that did not disturb the peace and comfort that he found in the shepherd. He seeks no refuge in lies or denial. His comfort is not ignoring or minimizing the reality of his opposition. That never brings true peace. It's a picture of the world today and how most of them face these things. Most people avoid the truthful reminders that they have an enemy. Most people, they just seek to ignore it. Hopefully it'll go away. Listen, most people around us, they've heard the Bible doctrine of hell. You know how they deal with that? They just ignore it. People all know, they even quote it sometime in jest, the certainty of death and taxes. The phrase a lot of people like to use, there are some things certain, death and taxes. But listen, they get their taxes done, but they ignore the death part. Huh? That's how most people deal with our obstacles, with our enemies. They just ignore them. Pretend that they're not actually real, or pretend that they're fables, or just ignore them. You know what? And many people are offended even by the conversation. Offended by the conversation. If I talk about hell today and preach on hell, a lot of folks are nervous about that. Don't want to hear that. No. That's negative. Well, it's supposed to be negative. Right? You know what's positive about there? Because of Jesus' blood, I'm not going there. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the positive side. Just depends on how you look at it. If you're going there, that's pretty negative. If you've escaped, it can be pretty positive. Hallelujah. That place you're talking about, I ain't going. As the old song from the mountain said, the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Hallelujah. That God put in there the love of God in my heart. Listen, as you and I consider that most people, they're offended by the conversation. If you got a family reunion, you want to split them up, go up there and talk about it. Just walk in there. If you want to split them up, go in there and just say, hey, have y'all made preparations for your death? I mean, you got everything all in. Huh? What? I mean, you done everything you're supposed to do. Okay. They may ask you questions, but they're going to look somewhere else to go have a conversation. You know what? They're offended even by the conversation. Why? Because they're having to face reality that there's opposition. There's an enemy. The Bible calls, 1 Corinthians calls death the last enemy. The last enemy that shall be defeated is death. And so there is no real peace, there is no real comfort in ignoring or minimizing the reality of opposition or enemy. Man has an enemy. A lot of them are apparent. Some of them are by revelation. God has revealed, not only do we have the natural enemies that we face, but we have the greater enemies revealed by the Word of God. Sin is an enemy. Why? Because of its destructive forces. It destroys. It destroys righteous. It destroys truth. It destroys goodness. It destroys your physical body. It will destroy your soul. Listen, we have revealed in the Word of God that the flesh, the old carnal nature that we have, the world we live in, the devil, listen, death, all of that is an enemy that God reveals. The Bible reminds us in James 1 that when sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Proverbs 7 talks about the man who was given up to adulteries and fornication. The Bible is very descriptive. He heads into that not knowing that he is like an ox going to the slaughter. The Bible said he heads into that not knowing, that he's like a bird, that has been hit with a dart. And the Bible says this, knowing not that it is his life. In other words, knowing not that this thing's going to kill him, it'll destroy you. And listen, there are many people who go through life and do not consider their enemies. They do not consider that there are powerful things that can destroy a man and destroy his life. And so they take no opportunity. Listen, to seek refuge. They seek not the helper. They seek not security. They seek not the salvation of God. They seek not a powerful being that will come to their aid. And so they go through life skipping along foolishly ignorant of an enemy. There is no true peace and comfort from ignoring it or even denying it. The Bible reminds us that the devil himself is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then, of course, the certainty of the enemy of death. And so, there is no comfort to those who ignore it. Those who simply imagine that it not be true. But it's important that we know what it is, who it is, and how it operates, that we might be better prepared in seeking a refuge for our soul. Listen, when you and I face obstacles, face problems, the Bible said we are to count the cost of our victory. And that is that we're to weigh those things out. You know what I'm aware of? You know what the Bible does here for the wise man? Listen, this is the reason this man's found peace and comfort. Not that he doesn't have an enemy. His peace and comfort doesn't come, Brother Charles, because he is able to subdue that enemy. He does not come home and feel good about himself and take courage because I can defeat them. Listen, this man in this psalm recognizes that these enemies are greater than he is. And that he does not have the strength, power, and ability to face them. And so he has found in the shepherd. He has found the presence of the shepherd by faith. The third principle here of well-being in this psalm is the fact that the perception of the presence of his great shepherd. The presence of the shepherd here is what has secured his peace, his rest, his comfort, and his joy. The presence of the shepherd. Listen, he has perceived his own weakness and confessed it. He has admitted and acknowledged there is a great enemy against him. But here's a man at peace and rest. Why? Because of the presence of the shepherd. The Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Notice the picture he's given. Here is a table in front of him. The table is here. The enemy's there. Between himself and the enemy is all God's provision. All God's provision. When I see the enemy, I'm frightened. And yet I take comfort because of the provision God has brought near. Aren't you glad that the enemy is not here and God's preparation there? Listen, if you're not saved today, that's where you're seated. Are you listening to me? If you're not seated, the enemy's in your face. God's provision is over there. But when you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have put faith in the shepherd and brought into his fold. Notice the order's been changed. Now I have in front of me all God's provision and the enemy's there. Thank God between me and death is all Jesus has provided. Hallelujah. Thank God between me and hell is all that Jesus has provided. Thank God between me and the devil. Thank God, here's all that he has provided. And listen, all the threat, all the enemies to life, all the things that cause me fear, anxiety, worry, listen, God has put before me the table that he has spread. Listen, and the comfort of all the shepherd has provided now is the foundation for his peace, for his comfort, for his rest. The Bible says here that in that great provision, The Bible says, "You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." Jesus said in Luke 12, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The power and glory of the Good Shepherd who gives all that He might save and secure His own. Listen, the promise Jesus made in John 10, as He considered all the enemies of the sheep, Jesus made this promise concerning His flock. He said, "They shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." God has made an abundant provision. And listen, the presence now of the shepherd becomes the foundation of His comfort, of His joy, of His hope, of His security. It is all because of the great, powerful provision He has made. How powerful is the blood of Christ? How powerful is the promise of God? How powerful, listen, is all that He can do and has done for us? That table has been set. And if we'll feed at that table, listen, we'll come forth even facing our enemies, facing our obstacles. We will come forth with strength and with joy and with certainty, because I fed at His table. And listen, it brought me the rest and peace and comfort. We know the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, was seen in His great power to provide and protect both physical and spiritual enemies. The physical enemies in Mark 4:38, the Bible said He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and saying to Him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Listen, they got upset when they saw the great powerful forces of nature had come against them and threatened their life. But they learned a lesson. Because Jesus was present and on board, they had nothing to fear. Why? Because He's greater than all the natural forces in the world. And He said, "Peace, be still," to the wind. I'm sure they quoted those verses many times in their own heart when they faced the storms of life. Or peace to be still in the presence of the shepherd. Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Did you not realize who was on the vessel with you? Did you realize not who was present with you?" And listen, He's the Lord of all the seas and all the wind and all the forces of creation. Then the spiritual enemies. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus was heading in, preached it to the little kids Wednesday night. Mentioned it here on Wednesday, but as He was heading into the city of Gadara, there were two men possessed with devils. The Bible said they were fierce. They were tormentors. They were violent. They were mean. Listen, they were insane, not in their right minds. And listen, they would torment and afflict all who would pass by that way. And when they met the Lord Jesus, listen, the demonic spirits cried out of the men and said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to torment us before the time?" These men, violent, fierce, angry, bold, brutish, would harass every person that came by. But when Jesus walked by, they came out and very humbly began to cry, "Will thou torment us before the time?" They knew who He was. Listen, He was the Son of God. They knew His power. They knew, listen, the confrontation was going to come with Him sooner or later, and they knew they would be defeated. And they were saying, "Lord, have You come now for that conflict and that confrontation now?" In other words, is it our day to face Your judgment and Your wrath? Listen, they quickly bowed down before the Son of God. Listen, the devil may look at you and laugh, and may mock you, criticize you, and know exactly what you are. But as long as you're standing next for the shepherd, oh, listen, he recognizes that he's no match. No match at all. You know why the psalmist took such comfort? Because he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you know what that meant? that, listen, whatever I face, Jesus is always with me. And He has made provision for whatever comes. He's already set that table for me. He set that table. In a world of rejection and hate and violence come against all, aren't you glad you're seated at the Lord's table? That table anointed, the spiritual supply. The abundance here, the cup runneth over. That is, listen, that all, and I need and more, has been given to me, my God. No greater joy and peace and comfort than seated at the family table. You and I remember that, don't we? What joy, what liberty, what peace, what rest and comfort there was at the old family table. I hope you had one. Would to God that we should have one now. We don't. But in days gone by, it was a time of peace, time of laughter, time of comfort, time where you set all the cares away. You sat down with the family. You sat down, listened, had the family table. You enjoyed the times of being together. You took great comfort from the fact that you were supported, that you had a refuge, that you had a people that you belonged to and cared about you. And that was reinforced every time you sat at the supper table. Aren't you glad spiritually today that you and I are seated at the Lord's table with Him? Every provision. Could I tell you today, all of us are needy people. More than we perceive. Okay? Could I tell you number two, we do face enemies, every one of us. Every one of us. They're far greater than you and I understand. But could I tell you this? The Lord has prepared every provision for you seated at His table. And if you'll draw near to Him, He'll make sure, listen, that the table is here and the enemy's there. And any time I see the enemy, I see the table. Just like a man, listen, who may be worried or concerned about poverty, and yet as he looks out in the future of possibly being poor, he looks at the table and sees it completely filled. As I face enemies and obstacles, listen, if I draw close to the shepherd, you know what I have to look across the table to see it. I like that painting someone did years ago, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the table that was set in heaven, if you've ever seen it. And the table disappears in the horizon, and the place seated all the way through. It's a very beautiful painting. I've always liked it. And listen, the great marriage supper of the Lamb, we'll all be seated with the Lord, all of our troubles and cares forever gone. And what sweet fellowship. I want to tell you today, as you stop and consider this great truth given to us in Psalm 23, that if you'll draw close to the Lord, you have to see the table before you see the obstacle. You see the table before you see the enemy. And that table is completely full with everything that I need for my soul, all supplied by you. I don't know what your need is today, but I know the table's been set. And the call we sing, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. So many illustrations in the Bible support that. We have the precious Word of God, the bread of life. Everything I need right here in this book. And whenever you want a feast at the table, come and open this book and you'll find treasures to your soul that will give you strength and support. But you know what? You have to make it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. If you'll draw nigh to Him, He'll show you the table of His mighty provision. Will you bow your heads, heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning? Follow.